And turn to Judges chapter 7. That's Judges chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 and 15 through the 23. The context is that Gideon, the man of God, was chosen by God to do God's work. And it says in they're getting ready to go to war. Israel was getting ready to go to war. And they were being oppressed by the Midianites. They were under captivity by them for years. And this is what happened when God called Jerubbabel, and whose name is Gideon. Verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, the name who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early, and pitched beside the well of Harod, so the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah, in the valley. Jerubbabel means let Baal contend, or Baal strives. Baal was a false god of the devil. There is only one God, the God of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Gideon, his name was Jerubbabel, because he had torn down Baal's altar in the city. Thank God. So Gideon, whose name means one who cuts down, he had rose up early with the warriors of Israel and went to the well of Harod. Harod means fear or trembling. The well of fear or trembling. He was a nervous man, but he was by that well. So that the host of the Midianites, the enemies of Israel, were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. Morah means the hill of the teacher. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, so we're telling the story here, setting the stage. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me. To give the Midianites, the enemies of Israel, into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. So here we see that Gideon was bringing them down to the water. This is what the Lord's instructions to Gideon were. Bring them down unto the water, verse 4, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So what's going on here is you pretty much have Gideon being instructed by the Lord that you can't do what you're going to do the way that you want to do it with your 32,000 men of war. It would be too many. It would be too many for you to get the glory. Too many for you to get the glory. See, God doesn't share his glory with anyone, especially prideful men. But it says, lest Israel vaunt themselves, lest they boast against God and say, look, I won the battle. That was me. I did it. That's not what God wants. So he told Gideon in Mount Gilead, which is where they're met at, the army of Israel, 32,000 of them. There, he said, hey, if you're afraid, go ahead. There's the door. Go ahead. You can leave. Because Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Trusting in the Lord is good, but fearing man bringeth a snare. So these people, for whatever reason, they were fearful and afraid. They left. And they returned and departed early from Mount Gilead. Again, the place of testimony or witness. So out of 32,000, 22,000 were gone. That's 68.75% of the army gone in one morning, gone in one day. That's a lot of men. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. So you have 10,000 left, right? 10,000 left. We've been reading in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 8 says this, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, speaking of Israel and the promises of God given to Moses, the man of God. Well, there's 10,000 left, so we can certainly defeat the Midianites that way. God says no. God said no, the people are still too many. Told Gideon, hey, take him to the water. Go down to the water. There's still too many. I, the Lord, will try them for thee there. I just want to talk about water for a second. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Water is clean. Water is cleaning, has a cleaning effect. Water is pure, has a purifying effect. Water has a trying effect. But now, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, but now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Pay attention to this, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel, speaking of water. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through 5. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, speaking of the temple, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees, a little bit higher. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins, a little bit higher. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Have you ever been through some waters? Have you ever been through some trials? Have you ever been through some sufferings? Some tests that are just, they start off at the ankle. Just some waters, you can handle it. And then it's up to the knees a little bit more. And then it's up to your loins, your waist, even higher. And then eventually it's so big and so overwhelming, it's just, how do you make it through? How do you make it through? The waters. Higher and higher and higher until we're swimming and we can't even swim in the waters. Overwhelmed. It says, I will try thee in Judges chapter 7 verse 4. This is what the Lord told Gideon. I will try them for thee there. I will try them for thee there. Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, starting at verse 3. Speaking of testing and trying. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yahweh, the Lord, is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Yahweh, the Lord, trieth the righteous, But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Verses 17 and 18. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment, every moment? The Lord is watching. The Lord sees, and the Lord knows. He's trying us. Verse 8 of chapter 23 of Job. Behold, I go forward. Have you ever felt this way? Behold, I go forward, but he, God, is not there. In backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Have you ever felt that way? Verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, God was trying the people of Gideon, trying the people, and said, I am going to try them for thee. Gideon, Judges chapter 4, 7, verse 4. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Jeremiah 27, 12 through 15. Speaking of the man of God, Jeremiah in this case. I spake unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Verse 15, this is what I wanted to bring out. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Be careful. Be careful who's sending you. Be careful who you send and who you don't send, because the Lord is good. And he trusts us. He trusts us with his words. He trusts us to deliver the message. He trusts us with these things. But there are some that would go and some that could not go because the Lord said so. Look at back to Judges chapter 7. So there's a distinction between the goers, the blessed to go, and the stayers who were told to go home. So he brought down the people unto the water, verse 5, Judges chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. You know, Pastor just preached a sermon about Daniel chapter 3 and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three Jewish boys, men, but these three Jewish men, they didn't bow down. They didn't bow down to the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. All the people of all the nations, of all the tribes, of all the tongues, of all the languages, they all bowed down. Three men stood the test. Pastor just preached on that. But look at how it says in verse 5 again. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, with his tongue. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. It says this. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So judges in this case, the men of God here, were kneeling down on their knees, picking up the water and keeping their heads up. Keeping their heads up. You see, we all need a good washing. A good washing. Our tongues need to be dipped in the washing of the water of the Word of God. Our tongues need to be dipped in the washing of the water by the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 6. I saw the Lord upon the throne, the same year that King Uzziah died, 1 through 7, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now pay attention to this. Verse 5, this is what Isaiah said after he saw the Lord and saw that glory. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. In thy sin purged. Bless God. You see, Isaiah needed a good mouth washing. I think we all do sometimes, myself included. But it says the ones that didn't bow down on their knees to drink, they were different. They were all sent home. Another 9,700 men were sent home. So Gideon, one man, plus 300 men left, is 301 men. So 301 of 32,000 is 0.9375%. 0.9375% of his army. That's all he had left. 32,001 to start. Dropped down to 301. 301 men who didn't bow the knee. Both of them to the water. Says this in verse 6, And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. So God's using 300 here, men, to save Israel. So Gideon was a frighted man, a scared man. So verses 8 through 14 speak of how he was afraid, went down, had a dream in the camp. He went down to the enemy camp with his servant Phurah. Phurah, according to verse 10. Phurah means fruit bearer. Fruit bearer. And I know pastors preach many times on Isaiah 37:31. Isaiah 37:31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward, and Phurah, bear fruit upward. You see, Gideon was a scared man, but he went down to the camp with his servant fruit bearer, and he listened to what was happening in the camp. He told a dream, and the dream was that Gideon would win. Israel would win. The enemies of Israel were going to be destroyed, and God would give the victory to Gideon and his men. And Gideon was so happy. Verse 15, it says, "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped." He worshipped. He gave God the glory. "And returned into the host of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers." Judges 7:17. "And he said unto them, 'Look on me, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So here we see Gideon's plan. He put it into practice, and he said, "You over there, 100, you over there, 100, you over there, 101, because there was Gideon and another 100, you come over with me." Verse 19, "So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch." So what's going on is Gideon told his 300 men and plus him to surround the Midian army. They had pots in their hands, pitchers in their hands. They had lights in the pitchers. And he said, when I blow the trumpet, we're going to smash these pots. And light is going to shine everywhere. But look at verse 17 again. "He said unto them," Gideon said unto them, "Look on me. Look on me." Look at Isaiah 45:22-25. This is what the Lord says. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory." I believe that's the Bible verse that Charles Spurgeon got saved with. Charles Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers, Old Baptist preacher, got saved when a layman was preaching, just said, look on me, not, and that's what he was preaching. That's the verse, look on the Lord, look unto the Lord, but look on me. He just said, look on me. He kept saying, look on me. He's like, why am I looking at you? And then it dawned on him. It wasn't the preacher he was looking at. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. Because that's what we have to do. Back to the story. Verse 19. "So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp," Judges chapter 7, verse 19, "in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch." They just put the new guards up. It was between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. range. In that time, they had but newly set the watch, and the guard... "And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands." Verse 20, "And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and with the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" "And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerorath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites." You see, what they did is they broke the pitchers. What they did is let the light shine. And what they did is I don't know how many times they did that, but that's what they did with their trumpets, their shofars, the ram's horns. So what's that mean for you? What's that mean for me? Well, first of all, we have trials. We have sufferings. We have waters. We have deep, deep challenges beyond words. The Holy Spirit in Romans says, I am groaning with utterings too deep to explain in words, to declare in words what you're going through. But I know what you're going through. I feel what you're going through. I see what you're going through. The waters. And I'm testing you. I'm trying you. Not out of meanness. Not out of despite. Not out of cruelty. No, you're going to come forth as gold. You're going to come forth as gold through this trial. And what does this mean for us? Being sent by God or the man of God? Highly important. Highly important. Be careful who you receive and be careful who you send. What does this mean for us? Everyone that lappeth of the water with your tongue as a dog lappeth. Well, guess what, my friends? God can use dogs. God loves dogs. God loves animals. But you know what? Sometimes we just need a good tongue washing. Sometimes we need to lap the water and trust the Lord and guard our mouths, set a guard over the door of our mouth. What does this mean for us? God can do anything. 300 men, praise the Lord, got the victory, but it wasn't the men. Because remember, if it was like 32,001, Israel would have vaunted themselves. Israel would have prided themselves, and we would have boasted. Boast in the Lord. What does this mean for us? Worship the Lord. When you know what you know, what you know, what you know, don't doubt in the light or the darkness what God has declared in the light. Don't doubt what the Word of God says, the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. What does it mean for us? Verse 17, look on me. Look on me. That's what Jesus said through John the Baptist. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one we need to look on this morning. Jesus is the one we need to look at the next verse, part of verse 17 of Judges 7. Behold, when I, not me, but the Lord, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so ye shall do. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. You see, if you want to follow God, if you want to follow Jesus, look at Hebrews 13:10. Hebrews 13:10. We have an altar, thank God. We have an altar, praise the Lord, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That's the Old Testament. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without or outside the camp. Outside the camp, without the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might set apart, sanctify the people, just like the 300 were sanctified, they were set apart. They did what God wanted him to do, them to do. Wherefore Jesus, verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 13, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He died outside Jerusalem. He didn't even get to die in the city of the great king. He got crucified. He got rejected. He got nailed to a cross. He got betrayed by his own. But he suffered without the gate. Verse 13, let us go therefore, this is for you and me, my friends, let us go forth therefore unto him, unto Jesus, without the camp, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Why? Verse 14, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's a new heaven and a new earth where there is no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no mourning, no crying, no tears. Jesus will be there. It will be heaven on earth. But by him, therefore, by Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Remember Isaiah's lips got touched by the burning coal and his sin was purged for? Well, let me tell you what, my friends. The blood of Jesus has purged us. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. The blood of Jesus has washed us clean. And now we have clean lips. Now we have clean tongues, clean hearts, clean. Thank God for being clean. And so we praise Him. We give Him thanks to His name. And what does this mean for us? Do as I do. Jesus said when He washed the disciples' feet, as you've seen what I do, do the same. Help us wash on each other's feet, Lord. Help us to serve each other. Help us to love each other. And what does this mean for us? Remember, the pots got shattered. We're the clay pots. We get shattered sometimes. We get broken. We get hurt. We get pained. We get suffered. Suffering. Let God shine. Shine out of your smashed, broken, hurting, pained clay pot. In the trumpet. Oh God, here we go. The trumpet, my friends. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Help me, Lord. It says this, verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Brother Sarge, Raylene Wolf, Brother Bobby, Little Bobby, your grandpa, Big Bobby, Brother Bajeski, your grandpa, Rush Limbaugh, Marion, Denny Owen, you will see him, Mom Tolly, Ralph, he'll be back. Mrs. Kresge, David, you will see him. Mrs. Sabanik, Brother Joe, Eric, he will be here. Pastor Bloom, George Bloom, will be here. Sister Patty, your brother Bobby, will be here. Brother Harold, your dad will be here. Sister Marilla, Reuben will be here. Jack Hiles will be here. Tom Williams will be here. Lee Robertson will be here. Most importantly, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our God, will be here. So my grandpa will be here. My aunt will be here. The ones who have fallen asleep in our Lord. Why? Because of the trumpet. Because of the trumpet that's going to blow. So may we look to Jesus for the trumpet blow. Let's bow our heads for a moment, please. Bow your heads for a moment. And I just want to ask.